welcome to the Happy Rant podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And Big R, baby, I'm guessing one of the hard things about the holidays for you is how the conference season kind of takes a little hiatus during the holidays. So are you back home? And if you're back home, are you happy in that?
Yeah, no, I'm back home. The conference season is definitely taking a hiatus.
Baby, and, I'm sorry. That's tough, yeah. I know. It's I mean, we're all dealing with stuff over the holidays, you know.
You know, it's everybody has their depressions, and for me, it's coming off the road for this month, but it's a good thing because I'm a lover of all things holiday, and
I was going to say it is the most wonderful time of the year, especially for you. So if there's a time to not be on the road, it's now. I mean, imagine if it was like February and you couldn't be at a conference, you just curl up and die.
What are we animals, Pipe? Like,
I have a no road policy from mid November through to January. So I do not do any travel.
Wow. Baby, wow, a whole like month and a half. That's incredible.
Does that include traveling to visit relatives? Like no travel. So you are at home. You are an utter homebody for
I do not travel.
Weeks.
Like I do not get on a plane and I'm home.
Now, yeah. So let me see if I'm understanding this. So for like a month and a half, you live like most people do normally.
I mean, baby, a lot of people travel. There's a lot of business guys that travel. I'm not the only guy that travels. I mean, let's be
business guys and church planters. You know, that's really who's on those planes in the middle of the
week.
That's
all it is. It's just me with a bunch of guys with suits and then a bunch of guys that look like.
Dude, it's a bunch of hipsters and a bunch of guys in suits. Now, do they divvy the plane accordingly? Like, do they put all the suit guys in one section and all the church planters in the other?
Yeah, they put us on the right.
All spending their organization's massive travel budgets.
Fund that out however you want, baby. They put us on the right and then on the left.
Oh, sure. I see. No, I like it.
I mean, unless I'm with a pastorix, and then they'll sit me next to her on the left.
Interesting. I'm sure the conversations are amazing when you two suss out the theology of such things. But
oh, they're insightful. Yeah, they're really brilliant. They're really insightful, and there's no arguing. Everything is just nice and calm, and fleshing out our various disagreements and theological views. It's
baby.
Really,
so since
really
you've
fun.
Been back in Ashland for a minute, have you noticed like the population of the town changing at all?
Oh, my God, the whole town has changed.
Are there any seismic shifts happening in Ashland? Any new people in your neighborhood? Anything like that?
It's like the town just changes overnight. I mean, you're gone a month or seven, you come back, and it's all different.
Maybe it surprises you. It never ceases to surprise. Like this program never ceases to surprise. So, boys, we have many things to discuss, but one of which is our lifelong sponsor, loyal sponsor, Noah Events Venues. So, Piper, lay that on us.
Lifelong sponsor. That sounds much like that almost sounds like a burden to bear more than an opportunity. I feel like that sort of commitment to a sponsor is, those are heavy things. So yeah, our first sponsor is Noah Event Venue. You've heard about them, listeners. If you are a church who is looking for a place to meet for whatever reason, Noah Event Venue has buildings with meeting spaces in most major metro areas across the country. If you go to noaeventvenue.com/church, so that's Noah, just the name, not Noah's, it's not possessive, it's not plural, just noaeventvenue.com/church, you can see where they're located, what the amenities are they offer. I like the word amenities. It makes it sound almost more like a hotel, like what Ronnie's used to, than a church meeting space. We actually had a listener who went to a wedding reception at a Noah Event Venue and said, "Boys, it's everything you dreamed of and more. It is beautiful and classy and lovely." So we have a listener review for Noah Event Venue saying they're pretty spectacular. He did say, I think he said their words, it was light on the foliage and the bronze busts and the various other decorations. So churches, you'll have to bring those yourself. But go to noaeventvenue.com/church. You can check out all the amenities, all the services, all the meeting spaces, all the parking spaces, Ronnie, that's for you, that they offer at any place across the country.
Sweet.
That is sweet. And Piper, am I right in thinking that we have a second sponsor for the week?
You are right. We have a second sponsor, and this is Waterbrook Multnomah is back with us. I just didn't want to roll from one into the other. I know. I was like, well, tee me up, Ted. This is you're the point guard here.
Yeah, that's right.
Hit me on the wing.
That's good radio. That's good radio right there.
So Waterbrook Multnomah is sponsoring the show as well, and they are coming to the listeners with a book called Holy Sexuality and the Gospel by Christopher Yuan. If listeners aren't familiar with Christopher Yuan, he has been one of the most sort of faithful and outspoken same-sex attracted authors, celibate Christians in the vein of like a Wesley Hill and a Sam Alberry and other people you might be familiar with, and writing a lot about sexual identity and the gospel from a consistent and faithful biblical and Christian ethic. So this book is really about your identity in Christ as opposed to your identity as a, you know, in terms of sexual identity. So gay, straight, however you define yourself, he essentially breaks that down and redefines identity in Christ as God intended, and then put sexuality in its proper place in that. He's a professor at Moody and is a really great guy. I had a chance to meet him when I worked at Moody and really, really liked him. So this is a book that I think it's – I'm really thankful for books like this and like the ones that Sam and Wesley have done, because they're kind of a minority perspective in a conversation that sort of, it just sort of sweeps across everything. And I don't even think we recognize the pervasive sort of sexual ethic that we live in. And so when these guys come with a different perspective that's distinctly biblical, it catches us off guard and is really beneficial. So the book is called Holy Sexuality and the Gospel, Sex, Desire, and Relationships Shaped by God's Grand Story. It's by Christopher Yuan. It just came out earlier this month from Waterbrook Multnomah, and we appreciate their sponsorship as well.
Solid stuff, Piper. And now I realize why you guys were stonily silent when I indicated that I would do the thing that I usually do, which is to riff on an author's appearance. So I'm not going to do that. So
He honestly, of all the authors we've riffed on, he is probably the least notable.
Dude, like, right. He's the least kind of persona-y.
He looks like somebody you'd want to read a book from as opposed to somebody you'd want to do latte art. Let's put it that way.
Well, he looks like an actual person as opposed to like a Nashville hipster dad.
That's right. A caricature of a person.
Oh, Pipe, speaking of Nashville hipster dads, real quick.
Let's.
So our basketball team, Union's basketball team, played against one of the Nashville schools, Trevecca Nazarene. That's from Nashville,
yep,
right?
They are.
And I was sitting in the stands watching one of my students plays, our starting shooting guard, phenomenal player. And I was watching him, and it occurred to me that one of the Trevecca players' like dads was sitting right behind me. And I don't know if you're like this, Pipe. Probably not, because you're a better person than me. But whenever our basketball team is playing another team, I usually pick like a nemesis on the other team. And it's usually the guy with too many like shooting sleeves and tights and, you know, just too many accoutrements that don't match the quality of his game. And Trevecca had one of these players, and that guy's dad was sitting right behind me. And if you were to cast like affluent Nashville hipster dad, like right out of central casting, this guy, he had like the shop class goggles. He had the rich guy haircut. He had a pea coat on, but the pea coat was made out of leather.
And I can tell listeners, it has not been pea coat weather in Nashville for the last couple of weeks. It's been, you know, it's been maybe like Ronnie's Levi denim jacket weather, not pea coat weather.
Well, and what's more, Pipe, I can tell you further that it wasn't pea coat weather in our gym. In that it was like 88 degrees in our gym. But this guy was committed to the pea coat. He was so committed to the aesthetic of being the Nashville hipster dad that, like, even though everybody else was in like shirt sleeves, this guy was not shedding the pea coat, not in a million years. But and he was kind of an obnoxious basketball dad too.
Ted,
so,
Ted, have you ever tried to like maintain an aesthetic when it's not weather appropriate? Have you ever gone to those lengths? Because I've tried that like probably 3 days in my life, just enough to prove to me I really shouldn't do this. It's so uncomfortable, and I don't know how Ronnie does it. I don't know how you wear like seven jackets when it's 88 degrees.
When do I?
No,
do
I mean tip of the knitted beanie to the hipster community, Ron, because I'm with you, Pipe. Like I really can't do it. And I remember, baby, do you remember those summer residencies in Ashland where, you know, it'd be like 96 degrees. I'd be in shorts and a t-shirt. And we'd roll down to the drug mart to pick something up, and you'd be wearing like four jackets and a pair of jeans, and I'm just like, I don't know how this guy does it, but it's good work. So
I mean, it's what being image conscious is.
That's what being image conscious looks.
You ignore the weather because you have something that's more important and valuable to maintain.
See, right? You're saying to yourself, I'm going to plant a church here in 4 years, so right. These people need to look at me in a certain way.
Ronnie, right. I need a little guidance on this one though, because like I can mentally ignore weather. Like I go through. I mean, I live in Tennessee. It's 107 degrees for half the year, and then it's like gray for half the year in winter, and so I can block that stuff out, and it doesn't really affect me. But my body doesn't effectively block it out, which means when it's 107 degrees, I sweat like I don't know what sweats a lot. Something that it's just disgusting. I'm a disgusting mess when it's hot outside. So how do you get your body to deny the temperature that it actually is?
Baby, have you trained your body not to sweat?
Yeah, like this feels like Buddhist monk Zen craziness to me.
Like, I mean, obviously Big T is exaggerating a little bit, but what I do is I buy, because I like wearing jackets. So what I do is I buy these very thin, cottony kind of jackets to where it's the equivalent really of just wearing like a button down shirt, but it's a jacket, right? So it has the appearance of a jacket, but it's thin and it's not incredibly hot. So I have a whole like closet full of jackets like that so that I can keep up my jacket appearance. I can keep up my jacket image. Right.
Mm-hmm. So they're like breathable and lightweight.
Yeah, totally. So people look at you and they go, oh my gosh, how can you wear a jacket? And I'm looking at them going, yeah, but like that button down that you're wearing with the t-shirt underneath is like hotter than what I'm wearing right now. Yeah.
I know
I've stumped you. I know that stumped you guys.
You may need to send me links to these jackets, because I feel like when I run across jackets, they're very like jackety. I don't get long sleeve jackets.
So that's kind of where my pre-Ohio, my California days are still coming to like kind of hurt me a little bit. Cause back, like out there, nobody buys like jackets with lining. You get all these thin jackets just so like you wear them when it like dips down into like the high 60s. Right. And so I still have like a closet full of those kinds of jackets to where they don't provide any sense of like warmth, but they're not incredibly hot. So you can just kind of, they're like all weather jackets kind of a thing. And so my problem is like I'm walking around freezing all the time, like in this weather. I'm literally just cold all the time because I haven't popped out, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 for like that North Face that I still need, you know.
Baby, just go by the Wheaton College Lost and Found toward the end of the school year, and you can probably find that's that right. Nice.
You can get like $3,000 North Face. An Arc'teryx vest, a Patagonia jacket, and then like a North Face shell to put over it, and you can go scale the heights of K2 or whatever the highest mountain is these days.
Yeah, you can camp on the side of Mount Everest.
So basically, freeze to death. Take an 8-hour trip to Chicago. Go to Wheaton.
Baby, it's traveling. You love this. You find a conference there. There's probably a gathering.
I can't. It's December. I don't
do.
What am I supposed to do right now, baby?
No,
I don't travel.
Go like January 6th. And here's the thing. That's between semesters, too. So that's right when they're clearing out all the junk out of the dorms, too. Like, that is prime, like, scrounge from the rich kids time.
Guys, maybe you guys could meet me there, and we could have a little powwow at Wheaton together. That sounds like
live at Wheaton.
That sounds like a real blast.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it does.
Live in Chicago. That sounds
good. Call it a conference.
Good.
Baby,
yeah,
it'll
help with my post-Christmas depression a little bit.
I have a question related to the conference schedule, just kind of evangelicalism-wide. Do they all shut it down for December? Is there a sense of like – because I know Pipe, I know Christian Publishing, basically nothing at all gets done between like right now and the middle of January, because everybody just like taps out for the holidays. And if like you got something in the hopper, it's not getting done. Is the conference circuit the same way, Ron, in the sense that like – you know, you're stir crazy at the house. You want to be out. You want to be on an airplane traveling to a conf, and there's just nothing. Like, you can't even find like a third tier conf in December.
Yeah, even a third tier. So the last one I went to in December, and I broke my rule. I did a little traveling to Michigan. This was back when KDY, you know, was still in Michigan. And
he would do that thing in the height of winter. Yeah,
they did the SOLA conference in 2013. It was him and. Him and a guy named Noel Heikkinen did it together. And again, it was just like a
resident
mini TGC
hipster there
conference.
In the Lansing area.
Yeah. So I went to that one. It was like early December. This was like 5 years ago.
Lovely time in the Lansing.
Oh, it was lovely.
Just beautiful.
I think it was, you know, it was 15-20 degrees. It was beautiful.
Absolutely.
And all of your little shell jackets just didn't hold up at all.
I froze at once.
I froze for 3 days. Actually, baby, remember I stayed at your house. That was the time I stayed.
I do remember. You guys were in France. Didn't we? You stayed at our house because we were in France. That's right. I was going to say there was another time you stayed at the house where didn't we take a meeting with Zondervan?
Yeah, that was our Zondo Grand Rapids meeting. That's a whole other thing, right?
Dude, yeah, the Zondo Grand Rapids meeting.
And that went really well because we currently have zero books out together.
Right. We thought it went well.
Feel free to make fun of Zondervan for two reasons. One, they're a rival of my publishing company. And two, nobody who worked there 3 years ago still works there. So, I mean, they turn over employees like every 6 weeks. They're basically like they just churn through. So
I feel like they put out a lot of hot garbage, too. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't make fun of Zondervan.
I mean, I can't speak to the quality of their books per se, but I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah. Well, there you go, man.
Wow.
Go. Wow. I would not mind making fun of Zondervan because, the worst experience I've ever had in publishing was on one of their projects. So, another story for another day, boys, but we have lots of things holiday related and otherwise to speak about on this episode. And Ron, you sent something that was intriguing. You're kind of our resident Christmas expert, and I think you love this holiday more than most people, and definitely more than me
including,
and Piper. But
including Santa Claus and all his elves.
Santa Claus and all his elves, absolutely. Santa Claus's jacket game is strong, too, by the way, because you never see that guy without a jacket either. You know?
His is lined. His is not thin. Can we just clarify
that? His is lined.
That?
It's very thick. Yeah, very, very thick.
It adds like 20 pounds on him, and I don't like that. I don't need that.
No, you can't have that. Now, if there was a hipster, I feel like there needs to be like hipster Santa, and he's delivering like, kombucha down the, you leave a little kombucha and some kale out for him instead of cookies and milk.
Yeah.
And he'd actually be skinny enough to fit down a chimney without magic.
He'd be skinny.
Too.
You could fit three hipster Santas down a chimney. That'd be phenomenal.
What kind of animals would pull his sleigh? Because that doesn't seem very humane. And I feel like hipsters would be very anti-animals pulling sleighs.
You know what hipster Santa would do? He would pull a sleigh full of animals. That's how kind-hearted and egalitarian he is.
It's a sleigh full of rescued puppies and kittens who are just like mangy and disgusting, but he loves them nonetheless.
Yeah.
He'd put rescue puppies in the sleigh and he would pull the sleigh and call it CrossFit, and then he'd update his Facebook about how much he's pulling.
It's like when he saves all the toys from the land of misfit toys, he let them sort of take over the He let them sort of take over all the other duties that he was going to have to accomplish.
Dude, right. It was a flat structure. He was like, who am I to lead this thing? You know, we're all teachers and we're all students. So
he's very egalitarian, our Santa Claus.
I like hipster Santa. I like it. This is
Santa is not complimentarian, you guys. I just want to lay that out for the multitudes, man. He is not complimentarian. I mean,
right. Mrs. Claus.
Are you sure? Because Mrs. Claus never makes an appearance everywhere. She leaves the strong impression of being a distinct homebody, whether or not she wants to be.
What did I say?
You said he's not. Did you say he's not egalitarian or he's not complimentarian?
No, I was going to say I don't think he's egalitarian. I mean, he's strictly complimentarian.
Okay,
right?
You may have said that, and I may have totally misunderstood.
No, man, I think I screwed up, but no, I think, I mean, you're looking at a guy that is not having any of these new school egalitarian shenanigans.
Yeah, you're right.
Hipster
Santa, though, would need to roll a little egalitarian. Hipster Santa's having
Mrs. Santa just do the whole run.
Hipster Santa would say, he would claim feminism as part of his persona shaping. Like,
maybe
I'm a feminist.
Santa is like stay-at-home Santa.
He stays at home with the elves while Mrs. Claus makes the run for kale.
She's delivering all the gifts.
That's right.
Let's be honest.
Yep.
He is empowering her to do all of the work while he stays at home and cleans up after all the toy making.
Dude, I have an idea. Do you think we could get Megan Tennant to draw Ron as hipster Santa?
Well, I believe you just made the pitch, and I'm going to go ahead and guess that it is holiday season, so, schedule, if she considers herself part of the publishing industry, we'll see this drawing in February.
Oh, guys, I just clicked on Twitter. It's up.
I love it. But Megan,
on the draw with these creative things. So, yes, I want to see hipster Ron Santa.
I would love to be hipster Santa, and I would love Jared C. Wilson to be one of my elves. Is that too much to ask for the holiday season?
Oh, I love it.
Hey, Jared C., I hope that, I'm with you. You're with us. I would like to see that.
Jared C. is a friend of the program.
Absolutely.
But I would still like to see it. And gosh, man, I mean, you've got the creative juices flowing now, Ron. Like if we did hipster Ron Santa and a whole passel of elves, like,
man, that sounds like, so much like Ron Santo. That just made me happy.
I know. That's so good, man.
And that's a sports reference that I think Ron actually gets, too.
Yeah, because Ron was low-key, like, 80s baseball fan guy.
Yeah, so. No, I'm with you. Guys, I'm following along for once. Everything's beautiful right now. Everything's beautiful. Nothing hurts. It's awesome.
Dude, but if we were to do – and by we, I mean Megan Tennant, because I can't draw. But if we were to do a drawing of hipster Santa Ron
– with my elves?
With a passel of elves, I feel like Brett McCracken would have to be one.
I would love Owen Strachan to be one.
Owen Strachan could be. You could just draw him.
Yeah, I was gonna say draw him life size. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
I want KDY to be my prancer.
Okay. Yeah, he's very prancery. Yeah, very. I could.
When I think of prancer, I immediately go to Kevin.
As a close personal friend of KDY, I can vouch for that. But this is a.
Who's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for hipster Ron Santa?
Gosh, man, that's a like, – D.A. Carson?
Who saves Christmas for Ron? That's the question.
Oh, boy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Whoever schedules a good conference in December. So we gotta figure out who that is.
Maybe we'll throw Noel Heikkinen, man, since his first name is Noel. Or is it Noel? I never know how to pronounce that.
It's Noel. It's very festive. I mean, it's just missing an umlaut, or it would be Noel.
Also, he's a hipster, so he would fit with the aesthetic.
I mean, there is the cross conference, which is – it's like a missions conference aimed at college students. That's always like late December. It falls between Christmas and New Year's. There's Pat – oh, you know who it is? It's Louis. Louis is Rudolph. Because passion is always like just after the holiday, so it's right when Ron is at his most depressed because Christmas is gone, January and winter is coming, and here is a conference brought to you by the little hipster middle-aged man himself.
Dude, and I feel like the steroids have made Louis's face a little bit ruddy, so his nose is a bit red. So I think this works well. This is fabulous. So Louis Giglio saves Christmas for Ron, saves post-Christmas depression, and now we have our picture pipe. We have our Santa Ron.
Rudolph Giglio to the rescue.
Rudolph Giglio.
Rudolph Giglio. That actually has a nice phrasing to it. I like that pipe. It's good phrase.
If any of us were going to have more kids, we could call the next one Rudolph Giglio. But
Rudolph Giglio Cluck.
Rudolph Giglio. It really rolls off the tongue, you know.
Giglio Piper. It has a great ring to it.
I love it. Well, boys, speaking of all things Christmas, Ron, you did text us something intriguing, and it was the fact that people are putting up their Christmas decorations earlier and earlier, and you feel like this is, rather than being a joyful and festive moment, this is a competitive moment. So I want you to suss out kind of the headspace you were in when you sent that along to Piper and myself.
It just struck me. So, you know, like when you're like, you keep seeing all this stuff on social media, and I feel like it keeps ramping up like more deeply every year, where everybody's almost like trying to prove that they're more Christmassy because, you know, on October 7th, they've already started decorating I'm crazy. It's that vibe, right? Because I'm putting up all my Christmas stuff this early. Kind of saying like, no, there's nobody that loves the holidays more than me. And there's sort of this almost like just bizarro, you know, sort of like obsessiveness to it. Whereas, you know, nobody loves Christmas more than me, but it has to be in its right, you know, it needs to be in the proper time, in the right season. Sure. And so it's just this strange thing where it feels like every year it's almost becoming this culture unto itself where everybody's like, I don't care. We're just putting out the tree. I know it's September 10th. We're just doing it. And so it kind of made me start to think about it a little more seriously and deeply, and wondering that just given kind of the state of where we're at in the country and with politics and all these types of things, it's almost a way to me that people are actually able to have something that they can assume some level of control over. And because the holidays represents, you know, kind of a lightheartedness and good times and celebratory and all of that. People are able to sort of say, hey, I need that right now, and I'm going to adopt that as soon as I can. And that's how I'm going to, you know, kind of set up my life, you know, because I can. I don't have to wait till December 15th or the day after Thanksgiving. I can do it now. But because we have social media now that can show everybody doing it, it mm-hmm. almost looks like it's become this, like, I'm going to out Christmas you. I'm going to out Chevy Chase you because I'm going to be obsessive about it earlier than you. And it just struck me that it just starts feeling like it starts feeling disingenuous after a while in some strange way. And I'm probably overthinking it, but it just, that was the reason for the text.
But what would Christmas be without Ron overthinking it a little bit?
That's right.
I mean, I feel like if anybody's going to overthink, I mean, you are to Christmas what Brett McCracken is to movies. Let's be honest.
Oh, I love it. Can we get a Christmas think piece from Ron? This would be good. I feel like this is what we're building toward. And the, it has to get published on GECO or it doesn't count.
Well, TGC doesn't. Didn't we already go through that? They don't publish my articles.
Baby, no,
that's because you're trying to do stuff that's like, hey, church planters, here's how to help your soul. And like, whatever, that's boring. But if you're like, here's how to find Jesus in the latest Terry Malick film, they're in. So if you can do sort of a like Christmas creep and gaining control of our crazy lives.
Yeah, a kind of arrogant academic take on Christmas.
Or wait a minute, or have about – no, and that's true. That's another thing I want to talk about. But no, almost like kind of going back to the Chevy Chase thing and saying, no, this is actually what came true. Chevy Chase was a picture of future Christmasing, which is just a super, like, just super compulsive, obsessive Christmasing. So, yeah, I can do it like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, if you can bring in, like, a way out-of-date cultural reference, make it a like, a self-fulfilling prophecy, and then make people feel low-grade guilty for their celebrations today.
Absolutely.
You're nailing, like, every
that's
point.
That's their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, and You'll have to acknowledge about that movie, and this touches on another topic that we don't have to fully transition into now, but about Christmas Vacation, if you're going to really go full-on smug TGC academic, you've got to acknowledge, well, there are a few things in the movie, you know, that I don't really affirm.
It's a little bit off-color.
It's a little bit off-color. There's just a few things. Yeah, some content. I love that. That's my favorite. There's some content, you know. It's well acted, well produced, albeit, but yeah, you know your way around this language, Bigar. So this needs to happen. We need to get this published soon, and it's going to be a Christmas miracle for Bigar to actually finally fulfill that dream of getting published on TGC. So the gift that keeps on giving. Keep us posted about that, baby. But you wanted to say something else about like arrogant academic Christmas, did you not?
No, I just, you know what I was gonna, say, and I don't know how people are gonna take this
because that's a great concern of ours.
Yeah, it is. reading all of the recent like TGC articles, I don't think very academically. I just don't think I'm smart enough for TGC anymore.
Baby, listen to me.
Whoa,
you don't
whoa,
have
whoa,
to.
That's, whoa.
I don't know. I think that's what's going on because look, I'm not a movie reviewer. I'm not getting into like technicalities with a lot of like social justice issues. And that really is kind of the flavor of TGC right now. And I'm just thinking like, dude, I'm just this plain old Joe, small town pastor, you know, out on the road most of the time. And I don't think I have what it takes to like deliver the goods that they're looking for these days. You know, I don't know what to say.
I have some things. Piper, would you speak some wisdom to our co-host?
You have some content you want to say? There's some things?
I have a little bit of content, yeah, but I want to give you the floor right now.
Okay, let me preface it by saying this. I spent the entirety of last week in Denver, Colorado at a theological conference, which is everything you would expect from the name theological conference.
Was Ron there?
Ron was not there because Ron does not think he is smart enough to navigate these waters. But let me tell you something about academic waters. Mm-hmm. It's mostly posturing.
Yes. I mean, you know why, Piper? It's because all academics are wildly insecure.
Correct.
No doubt.
Wildly insecure.
It is a massive here's the thing. The brilliant ones don't come off as brilliant. They come off as relatable because they're like, oh, I know I'm the smartest guy in this conversation. I don't need to prove anything.
Yeah, a.k.a. Tim Keller.
Yeah, Keller, right. Like Ray Ortland, like my dad. I mean, these are the guys who are next level brilliant and they don't need to prove a thing to anybody. But the guys who are trying, like they're the ones who are pulling for like the, you know, you've always read this biblical text this way, but let me tell you what it really means. No, those guys, are insecure and maybe semi-psychotic because they're just like manically trying to prove their intellect. And then you roll that into societal things and movie viewing and whatever else. And you're like, oh, it's the exact same MO attached to culture.
Let me clarify. I agree with everything TGC is, but like, I like the content. I like the direction they're going. It's not that at all.
This is politic, Ron. I love it.
No, it's not. I dig it all.
This is Ron still trying to leave the door open to get published by them, where Ted and I both like say we've slammed the door and sailed away on that one.
No, I'm like old school TGC where I just write articles on how to help pastors. Like, so I like all that. I like what they're doing now, but like, that's not really a road they're walking down right now. So I think for me, I can write a Christmas article, but unless it's like breaking down like the way Christmas, you know, really was, and how like we have all these new facts and findings on really what the first Christmas is like and all that. Like, I don't know that they're gonna print it.
Baby, listen to me.
I don't do research. I don't like research. I don't do that. I don't like that. That's not
a lot of research. Baby, I have an elegant solution. Are you ready?
Yeah, throw it out.
I work at a university, okay? So I live in the world of smug, pompous people who are smug and pompous for absolutely no reason. And the elegant solution here is just that you have to make it sound a certain way. Like, you don't have to be that person at all. So what I'm suggesting is you write your Christmas essay, send it to Barnabas and myself, and we will infuse smugness and pomposity into it such that it will have a shot at getting published in the current iteation of TGC.
Well, and Ron, here's the thing. You can probably find a way to do that yourself. The basic rule is you take everything a good editor has ever told you about making things succinct, making them clear, serving the reader well, and you ignore all of them.
Throw it out the window.
And use as many multisyllabic words as you can, string together adjectives and adverbs in a mishmash, and then drop in a lot of filler words like wherefores and hithertos and things like that. And you don't even have to know where they fit in. Just like throw them on your page, and you're like 75% of the way towards a proper academic article.
Guys, I think you're misunderstanding. I get all that. I just have no interest.
Here's another suggestion.
Motivation is an issue here. I get that. But I just mean, in terms of capability, you can find it in yourself to do this.
Maybe listen,
I could if I wanted to try to be smart.
A little pep talk, okay? How badly do you want that article on TGC? I mean, think of the thrill. Think of how your life is going to change.
Think of your byline.
When you wake up in the morning and you click your phone open and you see a TGC article by Ron Martin. I mean, you're not going to walk around in the same way. You're going to float from not just because of the diet that you're on, and you're going to weigh -4 pounds. You're going to literally float from room to room because of the pride of being in that very small fraternity.
Because they printed that Christmas article.
Yeah.
Ron, what does the J in Ronald J. Martin stand for? What's your middle name?
It's Christmassy. It's Joseph.
Oh, so actually, you wouldn't be Ronald J. Martin or Ronnie Martin. You would be R. Joseph Martin.
Yeah, that's
R. Joseph Martin.
That would be your byline on TGC. You know, throw in as many hithertos, wherefores, whereby's, and then R. Joseph Martin as published on TGC, and your life will never be the same.
Here's another concrete suggestion. Use 100 words where 10 would suffice. Okay, so if you've written something in a succinct way, just
copy and paste the whole thing and repeat it so it gets
If you feel like you've made your point, then
keep
you need
making
to
it. Then, make it over.
Yeah,
and
I was going to say make it again, make it from a different angle, keep making it, or just add a bunch of words as to obscure it. Like the point cannot be obvious; it has to be genuine work for the reader so that they too can feel a great sense of sort of intellectual arrogance at finding the point of said article.
Guys, maybe I should try to go for having, I don't know, wait for it, 9 points.
Why do 9 when 18 will do?
Okay. Why do 18 when 30? Seriously,
you know,
we should write an article with literally the most
don't
points.
Don't undersell yourself. No, Jared already did that. He did a list of 125. Or 126 because he counted wrong. So
boy, and I never can reflect on that enough. I mean,
no, you shouldn't ever stop reflecting.
Maybe we just refer to you as 125 a lot.
That's how my family, that's how my wife refers to me now. She's like, you know what? I want to sleep with the 125th most influential man in Reformdom.
And then you whisper under your breath, 126th.
I know, exactly.
Hey, and I'm like, did you make the list? I don't remember. Pipe, you made the list, right?
No, I didn't make the list.
Oh, you didn't make the list?
No. Ted made the list because of the three of us, he's the one who co-authored a book that sold a lot of copies. Neither of us made the list, Ron, which clearly means Jared has not totally tapped into the influence of podcasts on the Reformed world yet. But, you know, maybe he'll do a 10-year anniversary, like a retrospective on that article, and maybe we'll make the list then. Or we'll be under his, like, guys I regret not having included.
You're going to make the list. I will probably never make the list, Pipe. You're like – you guys must have had some words the night before you wrote that article, man.
Dude, you know what at Jared C. Wilson should do? And this would help his, like – profile as well. He should just redo that list every week, and you can track how you fluctuate, how you're on it 1 week, you're off it. It's like the stock market. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like
some days you'd move up to like you'd move up the list, Ted. Like some weeks you'd be like 86,
dude. Right? Like if we do a good show, I might hop up to like 86. But if we do a bad show, I might be off.
Yeah, we make fun of TGC a little too much. Like you're off the list, but then we come back with a hot and heavy Stephen Furtick joke list, and you're like 67 all of a sudden.
I love it.
Or like you enter the list for the first time, Pipe. Like you just all of a sudden it's like, whoa. Where did Pipe come from? He's
right,
like
debut appearance on the list.
Yeah,
he didn't come in at 123. It was like a solid 117. He jumped like way up onto the list.
It's like a Billboard album chart. It's like, dude, yes. Where did this come from? Yeah,
exactly. Now, Jared, if you're listening, and I know you are, you need to do this. Just do one of these every week. Tell your employer there that you need a little bit more time, and just make this happen if you would. So
I think he has plenty of time.
Yeah. Why do you say that, baby? That's controversial. Hot take, Ron. Why do you think he has plenty of time?
I mean, I think he has plenty of time to make a list once a week. We're not asking for another book. You know, we're asking for a list.
To be fair, he writes a book about once a week too. So clearly he's a fairly productive human being.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he has a lot of capacity, Jared C. does.
There you go.
It's already been like a year and a half since my last book released, and I don't even have another one in the hopper just yet. I mean, what's wrong with me?
What are you even doing with your life?
I don't know. I don't know. Lazy. Can we just call you Lazy Pipe? What are you doing?
It's well deserved. See, this is why I don't make the list. I don't publish enough books. Maybe that's what I need to do. I just need to
more books.
You know, gospel-centered podcasting. There we go. I think I can knock that one out by the end of the week, and then maybe I'll make the list.
Dude, we should do a gospel.
We revisit the list. I forget except for you, Big T, I forget who else was on.
Maybe mine's easy to remember because I'm right there at the bottom.
Who was number one again? Was it Spurgeon? I mean, who was number one?
It was my dad was in the top three. Driscoll was in the top five. Tim Keller was in the top five.
But there were some shockers, like why is that guy number like 30? Right? Wasn't it weird like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we were all stunned that some guy that we would have thought would have been top 10 was like number 29 or something.
Hold
right?
on here. I just found the list. number one.
I just found it. Oh, wait. It's Johnny P. over my mantle.
That's right. That's right. I just found it tattooed on my leg.
Your dad your dad was number one?
Johnny P, number one. Matty Chan, number two. Timmy K, number three. R.C.
Sproul. I think Chandler being number two, we were like, no, that doesn't feel accurate.
But Jared did write 720 words of caveats to start, so maybe he explains himself Fantastic. There. Too long, didn't read. Keller's number three. Sproul, number four. Driscoll comes in hot at number five, just ahead of
Driscoll
Al Mohler.
In the top five?
Yeah.
Oh, that's controversial.
Well, he is talking about like who had an influence. So that
Justin that Taylor makes- at number nine is a that's like the Central Florida being in competition for the national championship argument, Ted. That's
literally
just,
what I was
nonsense.
Dude, is JT still hot and heavy? Because he used to be the how we should think about everything guy, but I feel like he's kind of like dialed that
back.
Well,
it's because he was blogging before blogging was anything. So he got in the door early. But the thing is, now he's one of the primary decision makers at Crossway, which is like it's the Reformed publisher. Like they're the Gospel Coalition publishing company. So he pulls some strings.
He's more like behind the camera kind of influence at this point. But he's still
Tully and Chavijan at 11 is a little rough.
Is that based on his bench press or
no? It's based on his tan and his sideburns, I think.
Quality of tan. Yeah.
Wayne Grudem at 16. We're just working right now. Let's see who stands out as like that. Just doesn't make sense. Every Gospel Coalition employee is on this list, by the way. Ben Pays at number 28. So Ben Pays is like the business
behind. Ben Pays is 28?
So he's the, he's the executive director, I think, is the name of Gospel Coalition. And and you know, so again, he's like he is to the Gospel Coalition sort of what Justin Taylor is to Crossway. He's like the behind the scenes guy who makes a ton of stuff happen. So it's hard to measure that influence. Keith and Kristen Getty are one person. That's very complementarian at number 37.
Very complementarian. I take umbrage with that as a feminist. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So does hipster Santa. He thinks Kristen Getty should be a solid 35, whereas Keith should be down around 40 just to prove a point.
Absolutely.
Ed Stetzer at 39. I don't even know if Ed wants to be called reformed because he's just anti all labels.
But dude, but having said that, that's a good example of a guy that should be higher than 39.
I don't
know. Stetzer's everywhere. Stetzy is everywhere, man.
Really?
Kinda.
Huh.
I mean, in terms of like, has anybody not heard of Stetzer? I mean, that's in this camp. I mean, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Derek Webb at 49. Man, there's
that's what I'm talking
there's
about.
There's a lot of guys on this list. You're like, I mean, just for the sake of.
Dude, is there like an apostate category? I mean, is that a thing?
Yeah, like an apostate.
I feel like apostate musicians, that should be its own genre. Yeah. You should be able to walk into the record store and find that.
Graham Goldsworthy at 56 seems like a bit of a stretch. Ted,
I don't even know who that is.
Exactly. I think what we're getting at here, Ted, is that you got hosed. Because there are a number of people.
I should be higher.
Joe Thorne at 68.
Oh, come on.
Please. Little Joey, one of Santa's elves himself.
Exactly.
Anyway. Louis Giglio, Rudolph Giglio at 89. That seems way, way too low. I feel like he should be top 15.
Yeah,
Giglio? Giglio is considered reformed, man.
Here's the thing. Giglio created passion. Passion created John Piper being famous. So Giglio is the kingmaker of this list.
Dude, he's the kingmaker. He should be top 10.
Yeah, he should at least be top 15 or 20. Jared C., revise your list weekly, fix these problems, and put Ted higher.
Absolutely.
And if Ronnie makes the list, he'll be happy forever and ever.
No, I'm good, man. I really do think you deserve the list, Pipe. I don't think I deserve the list, seriously. I think maybe you deserve it. You deserve it before me. There's no doubt about that.
Well, if he does this thing weekly, we both have something to aspire to every single week, Ron.
That's right.
Every week.
That's right. Absolutely. We need this. And boys, the other time of the year that it is, and we need to wrap the show because we've gone, probably over time anyway, but I don't know if you're like me, but I really look forward to these arrogant guys doing their blog posts about all the books that they've written or not written, all the books.
Oh, that's right.
Read
you love this, don't you, Big T? You
yeah,
love
all the books
oh,
I've
yes.
read.
It's the year in review, the best books I read this year. I forgot that was coming.
Meaning all the books I read this year, meaning one biography of like a World War II general interspersed with like all kinds of deep dive theology interspersed with one sort of cultural memoir. You know, you're going to get a little bit of like, hey, I read the, you know, I just want to let you guys know, I read that Keith Richards biography and it really made me think, you know, in the midst of.
It really made me think.
It really made me think, you know, it really made me reflect.
It really made me reflect on how a guy can just keep hammering his body, but still lives
on how many mirrors a guy can do coke off of, you know.
Well, yeah, but well, still be alive. Last year it was Hillbilly Elegy. Like that was the cultural memoir of the year. And
absolutely.
And it was
hey,
it was
everybody needs to check this out.
And it was the take on it was, I mean, granted, I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic book, but the take on it was helps me understand Trump voters more or less.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
you know, one of what I really wanted to say to these guys writing these was, you know, if you wanted to know Trump voters, why don't you go interview 80% of your congregation? But instead they read a book by a guy they've never met and called it thought provoking.
Dude, that's the reformed way, though. I mean,
yes, why have a conversation when you can read a book?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I look forward to those. We could probably do a whole episode on like end of the year reading lists and just kind of deconstruct a few of these maybe in a future app. But boys, we have done what we often do on this program, in that we really have wandered to and fro throughout these topics, in that we didn't really even hardly get to these topics today. But we got to other topics, other thought-provoking things, other good radio. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
If you're tired of parenting advice and news headlines that are more confusing than assembling IKEA furniture, we've got just the podcast for you. My dear friend Abby and I are here to help you navigate the parenting roller coaster.
Should your kids be on social media? What should you tell a friend facing an unplanned pregnancy? These are just some of the many questions we tackle on our podcast.
Subscribe to The Real Deal of Parenting wherever you find your podcast.